Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined by Therese from California. Welcome, Therese.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Great. It's great to have you here. Therese, I understand you took part in the at-home working meditation retreat this past Saturday.
Yes, I did.
Great. Tell us about it.
It was amazing. It was really... It was just incredible to be together with Sangha, even though we were, you know, all over the place. I guess the most incredible thing about it was having a retreat at home felt like it was blessing my home in a whole new way. And that, you know, going on retreat at the monastery, had this experience of like, being there and you know, conditioning maybe would tell me, oh, well, you're at the monastery, you know, you can have your retreat there, but just wait till you get home, you know, and then I'll kind of come and get you.
Yeah.
So having the retreat at home was revolutionary just to see conditioning in all these new ways and how it just seeps in, you know, and all the nooks and crannies at home. And so it was really incredible.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing and what you're saying is really seeing conditioning kind of from another angle. So when you're at the monastery on a retreat, there's a certain flavor to it, part of which is, yeah, you can do this here, but when you get back home, you're not going to be able to, whatever. And when you're at home doing it, you're seeing it in a different way.
Right. So it was kind of like... it was just this experience of seeing conditioning almost in a really raw sense, and yet having the structure and the privileged environment, and knowing that, you know, there were, gosh, I think 50 people out there who are also doing this, and it felt so supportive rather than, you know, just kind of being at home alone on a Saturday where I could just go about my day, you know, having that structure and having the support of being able to practice in a whole new way at home.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about that structure and the schedule and what that consisted of.
Yeah, so the schedule, we started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we had a conference call, like a group in the morning where we are sort of oriented to the day and what it would look like. And because we were all over the place and people had different time zones, you know, we were given a sense of when our working meditation would be. And then, you know, for those of us that were on the West Coast, it fit nicely into then, you know, having a lunch at a certain time. And then, so my schedule in the morning, we all had about, I think it was about 2 hours to 2.5 hours of a working meditation once we got off the phone. And then we were given an assignment during that time. And so we had that assignment as we were doing our working meditation. And then we had some time to have a break where we would eat or do whatever. And then we got together again in the early afternoon for a meditation. And then after the meditation was another sitting meditation. And then after that was a working meditation. And then we ended the day with another group call and then a formal sitting meditation all together. And in the second part, in the afternoon part of the working meditation, we also had another assignment to do, for things to look at while we were doing it.
Right. Yeah, I'm just thinking as you're talking, you know, I could be me alone at home on a Saturday wanting to practice and wanting to hold to a schedule and be as present as I can. And then doing that with 50 people and the guidance of the monastery and the Sangha, and to me it feels like just a whole new level of support to the whole program.
Right, exactly. I mean, it was so great and we were encouraged to kind of, you know, write up our schedule. So, you know, I kind of wrote it up, posted it, I just was reminded of the support from having a schedule, you know, because, you know, typically it's like, oh, Saturday is just this day to get up and do whatever. And, you know, and I just saw how with the schedule, how I'm so much more, of course, conscious and attentive to what's going on with conditioning and our assignments. We really got to see, you know, what is happening? What is our experience right now? And and just see so much in that.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me a little bit about your working meditation periods and your process and like that.
Yeah, so I chose a project that I have been wanting to do for a very long time, which sounds like a lot of people had done that, you know, something that, okay, we haven't gotten to. And so the beginning of the day was great because it was, you know, my little taskmaster came in and, all right, time to get this, and this done, and all these things are going to happen. And then, of course, you know, as we had our first call in orientation, I really got it. This is not about the working meditation. This is about process and seeing what comes up. And so it was just great, again, to kind of see that part that wants to get all these things done, and yet our assignment kept us to the present to the process, you know, present to seeing what was really going on for us, and that getting it that, okay, it's actually not about finishing anything today. And, you know, our guide had said that at one point, too, at the end, like, aha, you probably got it, right? It wasn't actually about completing anything. And, you know, jokes on conditioning. So it was really great, again, just to be reminded. So that actually the time that was spent on the project, oh, my gosh, it felt so, it just felt so present. And there wasn't there wasn't a sense of feeling hurried or rushed or anything had to get done. So that initial call in the morning was so helpful to just go, yes, you know, and someone said, you know, really she saw already that in the morning how it was just about loving the day. And so I just kind of that just stuck with me all day, that really today is just about loving today, you know, and so that kept me really present also.
Wow. We could use that going forward, huh?
right. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And tell me a little bit about your experience of the virtual Sangha, cyber Sangha, whatever you want to call that.
Right. It was just really neat. I mean, there is something, of course, to be said for all being in the same room. And yet, you know, we have a privileged environment, so we're not really looking at each other anyway. It was just such an incredible sense of knowing, gosh, there's so many people now in all these different time zones all over the place who are, you know, supporting each other. And I think that was what was so powerful, was knowing, you know, when maybe something came up or and it was really hard during the day, just, gosh, there's all these other people though who are out there and they're doing this. And you know, and just having that experience, reminded me then, you know, I got it in a new way that, you know, yes, I go to the monastery, I love being there, and yet that's just as much of an illusion as when I'm not there. And so Sangha isn't a thing. It's not I don't have to be, you know, in the same room with someone, you know, and that was a really powerful experience for me to get it, that Sangha's always there, even if we're not in the same room.
Sangha's always there, even if we're not in the same room.
And having that support.
Yes. I get the sense as you're talking of that. For me, it's like an extra motivation. It's like feeling more supported. I know it's all projection, and yet it's very tangible in some way. I can feel that support. It really assists me in being present and doing the things that I want to do with my life.
Right. And it was just a great reminder then, too, when, you know, conditioning wants to tell me that, oh, well, if I haven't gone to the monastery in a while, then, oh, you know, I don't have the practice anymore. And this was just like a huge reminder that it's always there, because Sangha's always there and someone's sitting all the time somewhere.
That
we have that, we, you know, in some time zone, someone is there practicing, you know, through reflective listening, through all these, everything that we have to support us through Living Compassion. And it was, so just the at-home retreat reminded me on this, you know, just such a deeper level, how present Sangha is all the time. And that's just, you know, not to believe conditioning.
Sangha present all the time, including right now.
Exactly, right now.
Yes. Therese, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And hi to Sherry and happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good, you?
I'm great.
Yeah, hey, that was fun.
That was fun.
You know, my favorite part, this probably won't be a surprise, Sangha is there all the time. Sangha
yeah.
is there everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if we can't see them.
Yes.
We're always there together.
Yes. And I remember you telling a caller once that everyone is Sangha.
Everyone is Sangha. Yeah. Yeah. They don't have to go about it the same way we do. You know, everybody who is trying to wake up in suffering, whether they know it or not.
Yes.
Everybody is on the path to awakening.
Yes.
Good.
Wonderful.
And as Therese said, you know, our Sangha is to the point now where I think probably any time anybody sits down to meditate, somebody in our very tradition is practicing at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's fun to consider.
Oh, that's really fun. Yes, definitely. Sherry, I'm remembering as you're talking about your schedule and that you're going to be in San Jose at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment.
That's true. I think on the 12th?
Yes, Saturday, yes. December 12th.
Yeah, I think it's just a morning.
Yes, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 noon.
So it's perfect. We can get together, we can practice, and people can just jump right out and continue their holiday shopping.
Perfect. And then coming up will be the New Year's retreat at Santa Sabina in San Rafael.
Yes. This is our second annual, and I think it's we are firmly committed for the rest of time.
Great.
It's a wonderful spot, isn't it?
It's a great spot.
Yeah, and just an amazing, amazing retreat. And so if this year is anything like last year, it's memorable.
Yes, indeed. Sherry, do you remember how at the end of the show I encourage all of those people to call in early because they haven't gotten on the air?
Mm-hmm. They did?
Well, they did, and it sounds like they talked to their friends who also did.
Excellent. I was walking around today, Michael, and I thought, you know, we're, as you very well know, we're in an email class right now. We just
yes.
tipped over because I think class 5 just went out. Out of 8 classes, which is what I'm referring to. And so there are all these people who are just practicing like gangbusters right now. Not that they're not always, it's just maybe that I know it. And so I was walking around thinking, gosh, maybe we need to add another radio show so that, that we have more chance to talk with people.
Talk to these folks.
Yeah, to one more support.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, let's hear from them then.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris in San Francisco.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
What's going on?
Well, I'm really nervous, but I'm making this call as a birthday present to myself. My birthday's on Thursday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I just love you so much, Sherry, and this practice has totally changed my life, and I just have so much gratitude, and I just wanted to say it.
Well, thank
and
you. That's kind of a...
Yeah.
So it's your birthday, and you're giving me a gift.
I read in your depression book about spending time with people who make you feel good, and I thought, it just occurred to me this morning, well, you know, I just love Sherry so much, so this is my chance. Get on the phone and make the call, even if I'm nervous and shaking and my heart's pounding.
That's right. Which simply means you're really alive.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true, yes.
Yeah, yeah, the voices in our head would like to make it mean something else. But actually, you're just really really lit up right now. Everything is functioning on high.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
That's good, yeah. And one of the big, huge things that's happening to me through this practice is realizing it's okay to feel my feelings.
Oh.
And that's just like a huge change in my whole worldview.
Yeah. It just makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That my favorite thing about that, you know, that we're sentient beings. So we're feeling beings. That's what we are. That's how we're designated. And then everything in our conditioning is aimed at getting us to feel nothing. And then, of course, we're depressed, which is the logical result. And then we're made to feel bad because we have done what we were trained to do so well.
Yeah. And to top it off, for years and years, I used substances and different ways of just totally suppressing and denying my feelings.
Yeah.
And I would wake up in the morning and punch the wall. I'd have worse nightmares. I mean, for years. And I was trying so hard to, you know, be a good person and just trying everything. And then just thank God I found you. So
yeah.
I'm just celebrating that I'm alive, and it's my birthday present to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I am so glad. I am deeply honored, and that's such a beautiful continuation of the conversation about Sangha, because that's what that is, right? I mean, there was somebody there. When I was at the point in my life when I thought, you know, I really don't want to go on. If this is what life is, I got to try something different. And there was somebody there whose life was committed to practice, who taught me how to have a different life experience. And so there we are with Sangha, and we just pass that along. You know, we get the kind of the tricks of the trade. You know, somebody teaches us the tools. We take them up and we begin to work with them and practice with them. And finally we get to the point where we realize, wow, you know, these tools are mine. I can use these now. Yes. And then at that point we're ready to reach out to someone else who is in the same place that we were in. And life has this marvelous way of presenting us with that person at just the right time.
Oh, that's great. And just thinking about Sangha, too, that it's been going on for thousands of years, and now I'm part of it, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, it's just so cool.
You're walking the path with all those folks. And because there's only now, we're all walking it together right now. We have been for thousands of years, no doubt will for unimaginable times, and it's all happening right now.
Yep.
Very good.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry.
Oh,
thank you, Michael.
You. Have just the best of all possible birthdays.
I will. I'll be sharing it with all my family on Thanksgiving, and
good.
It's going to be great.
Good. All
right. I'll see you in San Jose, and one more thing. Oh, I just love your letter yesterday that you're going to be using all the tools and technology and helping us with practice. It's just
so we can just
it's awesome.
So that we can stay together more and more and more and more of the time. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk soon.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we are lucky duckies.
We are. We are indeed.
We are indeed. And I have another caller here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Michael and Sherry, this is Jen calling.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
We haven't heard from you for a while. I was thinking about you. thinking, what happened to that girl? And you weren't at the most recent retreat at the monastery.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. So I said, uh-oh, I hope she didn't fall in a hole somewhere.
No, not at all, not at
good.
All. Conditioning has definitely been doing its best, but I've still been pulling myself up out of it. So.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I was actually calling, you know, just everything that's been going on so far, just right along with that. I was able to do the retreat on Saturday, and then I wasn't able to talk in the group call that was at the end. I wasn't able to get through for that. So I just wanted to call to express my gratitude. I just, you know, everything that Therese has said and everything that the last caller just said, that retreat was probably one of the most sweetest days of my life, and I just felt so grateful, and I just really wanted to communicate that and just say thank you.
If you read my letter yesterday, you know I had nothing to do with that, so I can just, you know, just praise it to the heavens. It's just genius. It really is to come up with that. I mean, we've done things, you know, we've done Skype workshops and certainly conference calls and all of that, but to have a whole day of practicing together in your own life.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Absolutely. It's I hope there's a lot more headed, because
have a feeling that's going to become a regular.
Well, I hope so. I will definitely support it. So
good, yeah.
In whatever way I can.
Yeah. Well, being there. You know, that's
yeah.
Of course, you know, I'm not going to say the monastery doesn't need financial support, because obviously it does. But the first, the most important support is participation. Everything follows that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the financial support follows that. You know, as mm-hmm. we can all attest, as our lives are changed by practice, we naturally become more generous. We're grateful. You know, we want
mm-hmm.
to take care of what takes care of us. So we don't, you know, we don't even have to worry about whether or not that's going to happen. It'll happen naturally as long
mm-hmm.
as people participate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best everybody can do, is show up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I was so grateful that I was able to do that, and
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, for the show, for everything, and
mm-hmm.
and the retreat just has helped. You know, it's just been incredible. You know, like I said, just the whole day was just, you know, one of the best days I've ever experienced on the planet. But you know, now being in my life, it's just given me a lot. Like, for a long time, my experience of life was depression and a lot of low energy, and just recently my energy has been swinging around, and there's been a lot of energy, and it's been really fun and exciting, and I'm getting to kind of tease out now, like, there's been a very driven, conditioned quality. It's been kind of like, finally, maybe now I can be, you know, getting all those things done and be the right person because I'm not depressed.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm right there.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
the essential nature of using that energy for practice.
Yeah.
Because it will try to talk you into, okay, now you've got this energy here. I'll tell you how to use that energy. And, of course, that's going to take it right down the path, as you've indicated, of conditioning. And then once it's sucked all that energy out of you, it'll throw you up on the shore somewhere and then, you know, point the finger at you because you're depressed.
Right, definitely, yeah. And it's been tricky because I've rarely had this experience of feeling, you know, so, like it felt like feeling, quote, good, like, I feel good. I have energy. This is amazing. And, you know, and I've just been running with it, but I didn't see, and now I've just caught on so much more how still that was resulting in conditioning and still, like, it wasn't taking care of me. I mean, just the quality of, you know, doing things, but being taking care of this person, being present, appreciating. There was the peace quote about, like, you know, when you have had a hard day's work, then you have a good night's sleep, and feeling the same way about a good, well-lived life when it comes time to die. I just felt like I got that on Saturday. I felt like Saturday night, if it were the time that I was going to go, I would feel so okay with it because I lived that day. I was just so there. I just want to cry with joy. It was just a beautiful, beautiful experience.
And, you know, all that experience was you being with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's one of the great things about that day. You, we can't say, well, it was being at the monastery. Well, it was being with the monks. And, well, it was being around all. I mean, yes, you know, as people have indicated, those people were around, but not so you could see
them. Right.
I mean, you could have been doing anything you wanted to do. You know, you could have been drinking pina coladas out on the veranda and then get back on the call and report. You know, that was a great meditation day. But it was your relationship with yourself, your commitment and dedication to practice that resulted in what you've taken from the day.
Yeah, I mean, definitely with, you know, just that the beautiful support of all that sangha, but yeah, I can see that too.
And
just
the beautiful support of all that sangha that you were giving.
Yeah, and it's just inspired me now, you know, even though, you know, now I've already sort of, you know, reverted back to the, you know, driven ways or whatever, but it's like I can see it, like, just having that different experience I get now, like, before there was either no energy and depressed or lots of energy, let's work like crazy, and now I see that there's something else, and so even though I'm not quite sure, and I'll keep, you know, going up and down with it, like, I know that that's, it's just inspired me that that is how I want to be in my life and that it's possible.
Yes, and so here's a place I would ask you to look, okay?
Okay.
You have all of that energy that life has given you.
Yeah.
Always look to see, am I giving this to ego? Am I giving it to life? And you'll know. It's not a conversation. You'll know. Am I giving this to my heart? Am I giving this to conditioned mind?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great place to look because I could feel that it was my heart on Saturday for sure.
Oh,
I could feel that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So big,
and you
yeah.
can feel when that drivenness to, okay, get a bunch of stuff done and, okay, you know, that's hard.
Right. yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, conditioning's been tricking me because, like I said, then it's like, oh, you feel so good. This is wonderful. But now, like I said, now I'm starting to see, oh, but wait, like it's still at the end of the day, I end up feeling upset that I didn't get everything done.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, I'm in
there's
a,
the clue,
that's
huh?
a different place.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
the other big clue that I can't let you not notice, oh, you feel so good. Oh, you can get a lot of stuff. Oh, you, oh, you,
you.
Oh, you go away.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, Saturday it was just like, you know, yeah, I did some things and that was neat too, but it was so not about, like, there was someone on the call talked about how, or it was pointed out to us, you know, that we got so much done, not in the way that conditioning would see it, but just like we got so much done in practicing and being with ourselves,
yeah.
And that is just a whole other, like, yeah, that's where I, yeah.
That's what I
want
to
get done, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So thank you so much.
We'll let them know. Schedule it again.
Yeah, please, soon. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen.
Well, thank you so much to you and to everyone that makes this possible. It's just such a, I just can't imagine living my life without everything that's made possible. So thank you.
I know what you mean. I'm right there. All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sure, we have many more callers here.
All right. I just want to say one thing before we get to them, and that's that Mr. Stop, Drop, and Breathe is winging his way to Zambia right now.
Yes.
And, well, I guess in just a little bit. So Alex and Dave off to go visit the troops over there. And so
yes.
I hope people will be watching for the blogs to start in the next few days as they get there and start sending us updates about how folks there are doing.
Yes. And very fun because this will be the first visit since Teresa was here.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, so much is happening there since she was here and has gone back. It's just really remarkable. I don't know where all the places that it's showing up. I know it's showing up on Facebook, you know, the blogs that she's sending over and updates on the farm and the words, word of the day. You know, they've got this whole English project going, you know, posting a word every day and everybody practicing saying it and like that. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's very fun. So we'll be waiting to hear what those fellows send back to us.
Yes, indeed. Great. Ready for your next caller, Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Sri Devi from San Francisco.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great. And you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. I just have to say I love the stop, drop, and breathe. Every time I hear that, it just makes me smile and brings me back to center immediately.
I know. I don't know if you're in the email class, but I was going along doing something, and I wrote that stop, drop, and breathe. And, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of wasn't even intentional. It was just a part of whatever. And, I mean, people just apparently love it. You know, they're just constantly referring back to using that technique. It's really
mm-hmm.
powerful. It's so simple and cute and kind of silly and really powerful.
Mhm. Mhm.
So what's going on?
Well, so it's been interesting the last couple of weeks, or I guess probably the last month. In terms of things that are showing up in my life, all the little parts of me that are showing up that haven't showed up for a little bit. And what's happening is I ended a relationship about 4 months ago and have recently started a new relationship. And in beginning this new relationship, just kind of being very aware that there are little parts who are showing up and that very conscious of someone who doesn't want to deal with those parts because there's just all this emotion and all of this, just a lot of feelings. And today what was coming up for me was just this, someone showed up who just wants to, she just wants to burrow away and hide from the world and not talk to anybody or be engaged with anybody for like a month because she's just so exhausted and can't deal with anything. And just being very aware of that feels very overwhelming in my body of just wanting to shut down.
And what's her story? What does she say? What does she need? What would take care of her? I mean, burrowing away and not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
we think that there might be something else.
In listening to the previous callers, the thing that popped up for me, I was at the discussion that you gave in Berkeley a couple weeks
mm-hmm.
ago,
mm-hmm.
and there was something that you said that really struck me, and it came up again of just the fact that we all are really honestly doing the best that we can. And that really, just hearing that and saying that out loud and thinking about that really helps, actually, because there's a sense that if I was doing the best that I can, then I wouldn't feel overwhelmed and I wouldn't feel these emotions and I wouldn't feel the way that I feel. I'd feel great and perfect and life would be easy and being able to go, no, I really am doing the best that I can. I really
yeah.
am, and I'll be okay.
Well, I am doing the best that I can, and I feel overwhelmed. Now, you know, maybe that's just one person. So it would be really helpful to see if maybe she's somebody who's young and is being asked to do things she shouldn't be doing. Maybe she's carrying more of the load than it's really hers to carry.
Mm.
And so from a mentoring place, it would be possible for you to come in and see is what she's being asked to do, you know, unfair or kind of out of line. So there, that would be great. That would be a wonderful thing for you to learn. And that wouldn't, if that's the case, if that turns out to be the case, that doesn't mean that how you were doing it before was wrong or a mistake. How you were doing it led you to what happened that caused you to look, that caused you to see, that helps you to realize. Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak more about the looking to see if she's carrying more than she can?
Yeah, so to have whatever kind of conversation feels like it works with the person who feels overwhelmed and wants to, you know, pull the covers, my image, dig a hole and pull the hole in after her. So, to start a conversation, whether it's the, you know, the dominant, non-dominant handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, to sit down in a quiet time and just ask her what's going on. What? Tell me about feeling so overwhelmed. And then put your pen in the non-dominant hand and let her write back to you, and see if you can get a sense of who it is. Now, of course, it could be conditioning, just trying
mm-hmm.
to ruin your good time. That same process will help you to see that as well. So if you don't run into anybody who seems to want to be mentored, wants to, you know, kind of turn things over and get help, if you run into a conversation that just wants to point out what you're doing wrong and how it shouldn't be this way and I don't like it and that sort of, then you can, you know, think, well, maybe conditioned mind is kind of slipping in here trying to keep the karma in place.
Yeah.
But as you stay with it, you will get to the bottom of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what we're conditioned to do is have something like this come up, get information that it's wrong, we shouldn't be this way, you should be different. As you said, you know, if you were doing the right thing, you'd be the right person in there. That'd be the end of that. And then we don't want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at it is proof that I'm the wrong person. Why would I want to explore that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, what comes up with the new relationship is that there was somebody in between the old relationship and this new relationship who's just happy, just really looking forward to being on her own, and met this person who was this really lovely person and just kind of showed up out of nowhere. And then all of these parts started showing up of insecurity and things, and conditioning was just having a field day. And I actually have this really funny story. I was talking with a friend and was agonizing over whether I wanted to continue to see this new person because I was just so excited about being on my own. And I said, actually, what's happening is fear and insecurity and all of these parts of me that are showing up. And I don't want to deal with any of those parts. I just want to focus on my practice. And I just laughed out loud when I said that because I was like, wait, no, this is practice. And it was such a wonderful moment because my friend is familiar with her practice, and she just looked at me and gave me a look, and I go, oh, wait, what did I just say? And I laughed out loud. It was the funniest thing. And yeah. I went, okay, this is what it's about. It's about embracing.
Yeah.
But the conversation, of course, is that I've neglected the person who wanted to be on her own, I need to go back to her because she wants to be on her own, and I've gone too quickly into this new person,
right.
even though
yeah.
I'm being very aware.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
so what?
Yeah.
You know, always, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?
Yeah.
And how is it your fault? So that's really perfect, isn't it? Also, really good catch on that. I just want to go back to my practice because what that's saying is, you know, conditioning just is. That was meant, of course, to come in under the radar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So practice gets identified as a certain way of being and feeling. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're just dog meat, as they say, because once that's established, you're never going to get it right. So that was great to see. And, yeah, so now you're in this workshop, right? So
mm-hmm.
there's this person that you want to spend time with. There's somebody who wants to be on her own. Those two things are actually not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a part of you who wants to be her own person. And
mm-hmm.
maybe there's a tendency to get lost in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's set up that it's that either or. If I'm going to be my own person, I have to have nobody else in my life. If somebody else is in my life, then I don't get to have my life. They get to have my. Well, this is a really good place to start exploring. Not making decisions, not reaching conclusions, but exploring.
Mm.
Yeah, because what if where you're really going is, can I be in a relationship and be my own person?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There is an absolute belief that being on my own means not being in a relationship, and being in a relationship means not being on my own, and they can't coexist.
I remember years ago working with this woman who realized that in her mind, this is the kind of thing that never comes to conscious awareness, never gets articulated, but what was karmically driving her was that being on her own, not being in a relationship, meant a fifth floor cold water walk up with a torn shade on the window and a bare light bulb hanging down in the middle of the room. That's what it meant to be without a relationship. Now, of course, once she saw that, she could laugh and say, well, now, that's ridiculous. But until that gets seen for what it is, that could be a powerful driving force in somebody's life. Certainly was in hers.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
One other relationship thought before we go. And that is that almost everybody meets somebody, is attracted to that person, sets about trying to change them, okay, at about the same speed the person that they have selected is busy trying to change themselves to accommodate this relationship. Are you with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people fall for one another, and then in about 15 minutes, those two people are gone. And who's left there in their place are people that probably they wouldn't choose themselves, and they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't choose the other person either. And then we wonder why relationships are so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
Did you stay with me on that one?
I did. I did. No, yeah. I see that. I absolutely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, then this is going to be a fun and exciting practice time.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little overwhelming,
yeah.
But generally speaking, fruitful, productive, and exciting.
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. Sherry, we have some more callers here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
Were you?
How are you?
Did you,
you
have
sound
a practice?
Like you're doing good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Oh yeah. Yeah. Having fun. Did you have a practice day on Saturday too?
I sure did. I mean, I just I am the same way. I just loved it. I was worrying the day before, like, well, I haven't heard anything. I don't know how it's going to go. You know, who do I call? How does it happen? You know, the day was perfect. The way it was set up, everything, and I'm just with the other callers. I'm ready. Sign me up. Once a month would be fabulous. It's so hard to describe how really great it was to be able to do it in my home or in my area where I live and feel like I was, you know, with, because I was with Sangha.
Oh, yeah.
But to really feel that so strongly. The support of the day was just incredible.
I love it.
It was the best.
Yeah.
So I love what Michael said. I feel like a lucky ducky.
You know, the thing about it is I always wonder if they did start these once a month, if people would go, oh, well, you know, I did
another day.
Yeah. No, I think I get my nails done this Saturday. But the thing that could be fun about it is for people to know that it is a regular opportunity. And so, you know, I mean, there are lots of folks in the Sangha. So there could be a lot of 50 people days before we ran out of people. And there could be a lot of, you know, cycling through. So I definitely think it's...
Well, for anybody listening, I highly recommend it. In fact, I was shocked that there were only 50 people.
Well, I'll tell you, monks were, I think, grateful that there were only 50 people because you guys were getting guidance, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great because it started and I was one of the first people to get guidance. So I hung up from my call, you know, the overall call where we found out what we were going to be doing and, you know, just connected. And then about 5 minutes later, the phone rang for my guidance. So it was just a perfect way to start.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm getting going here. And then to connect up later and to be able to meditate twice together and then to get together at the end of the day, you know, and talk about what happened. And the powerful experience of every 15 minutes checking in,
uh-huh.
You know, having something we had to do every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To see where we were, and that what I felt so great about, because that just so dovetailed, of course, what you're doing in the email class with us.
Yeah.
So I felt like, oh, this is just like, this is practice now.
Yes.
Like just stopping all the time.
Yes. 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 And I'm pretty obsessed with it for exactly that reason. Once people get it, that this now is where I want to live. I don't want to live in that conversation. I don't want to be distracted. No, it doesn't take care of me to go unconscious.
I want to be alive. I want my eyes to be open. I want to be here. I want to be feeling the joy of being alive. As soon as a person gets that, then the help that that person needs, the support that person needs, is reminder. Because we are conditioned to distraction, so that as soon as our attention wanders, conditioning can come in and take us on another ride. So to have our lives set up so that increasingly we are reminded to come back here, wake up, wake up, wake up. Before long, of course, we realize that, oh, right, I want to wake myself up. Yes, it's nice to have help from people assisting me in waking up, but I want to wake myself up. Okay, now we're in a completely different conversation.
Yeah, I do hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, a person just tips over into, no, being a victim and whining about what's wrong and indulging that I'm the worst person in the world, you know, it's boring, it's tedious. A person just finally gets sick of hearing it. Be pretty sure everybody else is sick of hearing it. And we just cross that line over into, I'm never going to be here again. You know, this is it. This is my one chance to be alive. I want to have it.
I just love listening to you talk. I'm going to ditto the first caller. Just such gratitude for the teachings. And, you know, as I said on Saturday, in such gratitude that I keep showing up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, just because the most wonderful
happy.
Teaching in the world could go on, and if you weren't there, it wouldn't mean squat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have something I want to talk about.
All right.
I was listening, well, for the last 8 weeks, I haven't been able to call because I was teaching a class, and so I promised myself that at the end of the 8 weeks, I would call in. And so I was listening to archives, and I heard you talking a couple weeks ago with somebody. You asked them to look at what it means. So being a certain way, you know, or having something or not having, well, what does that mean? And I have been going, like, I am, conditioning is going crazy with this seesaw thing of, should I retire? Should I not retire? Should I do it this year or next year? And so I just sat down today because I knew I wanted to call, and I said, okay, what does it mean to me to stay teaching? And just started writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such an interesting thing because everything I wrote was just so negative. And it started out with I'm, like, you know, I'm an old maid, I'm growing stale, I'm spineless, da-da-da. And then all of a sudden it changed to, you'll never be free, you'll never have the life you want, you'll never. And I went from feeling like, you know, like crying, almost like desperate, to like laughing hysterically, like look at this. I'm going from conditioning to self-hate to like, this is amazing. You know, looking at this and thinking, no wonder I'm having such a hard time because I'm in the throes of conditioning. And this is like fertile ground whenever I'm trying to make a decision. It seems like I get taken every time.
Right, right. Because what it means is it's real.
Yes, this
right?
all means it until I got it down on paper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah. So I mean, this is real. This is important. This is your. We're talking about retirement. You know, should you continue teaching or should you? This is big. You have to be thrown into hell over this.
Yes, and you have to make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the favorite things, and this even came to me on Saturday. I was looking at something beautiful, which was one of the things we had to do, and I heard the voice say, this is what you'll be able to do when you retire. I'm like, I so got you. I got you, and I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of message I'm getting, is that, yes, I will be that the right person. And it tied in with what you gave us for our email assignment, you know, was that I just wrote in today saying, all of these things I am when I'm not in conditioning.
Yes.
I already am everything that I think I'm going to be when I retire.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And the only thing that's keeping you from realizing that is conditioning. And that's what will keep you from realizing that when you retire.
That's it, isn't it?
Yes.
So unless I can really see that's what's going on, I can do whatever I want, but I'll still have that same conditioning.
That's right. And here's
I could retire or not retire, and I will still suffer with it.
That's right. But here's the really deadly part. So
okay.
It talks you
Throw
into
it on
this.
Me.
Yeah, because you're going to be the right person. You'll be able to look at beautiful things and be centered once you retire. Then you retire, and it does the same thing to you, and it says, what is the matter with you? Here you've retired. You could have kept working.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you? You gave up all that money, all of that. For what? You're the same exact person you were when you were working. Can't you picture it?
Yeah, and you could have been like this and be getting money.
Right. Yeah. 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 There is no right answer with it. The only right answer is get rid of it. And then it's true. You could work or not work and be absolutely free. You could do whatever you wanted to do and be absolutely free. Or, as it's proved, you can pretty much do whatever you're doing and be in its grips and be in hell.
So really the whole thing is to keep practicing.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. You're onto it, because it is a moment-by-moment deal. Every moment,
and as I've heard, yeah, go on.
Every moment that we give our attention to center, to our hearts, is a happy moment, and it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. And every moment that we give our attention to conditioned mind is going to be a misery. Doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing.
Yeah, because one of the other things that I've really been seeing is that it's not what I'm doing, but it's what I think about what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Or another way we could say that is, it's how you're doing it.
Right.
It's so simple, isn't it? But it has an amazing ability to trip us up in those kinds of subtle ways that, you know, when you're there and you catch it saying something incredibly stupid, that's a lovely moment. But so many of those moments, it's saying something equally stupid, but the person isn't there to catch it. And so it goes in as truth.
Oh, no, I've had a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I can feel it in my body because I feel really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like weighted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
Yeah, because it is heavy.
You know,
it's dragging it around a heavy weight.
Yeah.
Yep, it's true. Oh, do you know, remember the Hallmark angels. Angels can fly so easily because they take themselves so lightly, something like that.
Oh yes.
Yeah, you have to have run into it. It's the corollary to Jesus walking along in the sand. There's only one set of footprints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really helpful because I was like, I got to figure this out. And then I was like, well, I am so caught here.
Yeah. The secret, whenever we find ourselves in that place, universally, whatever the content is, the thing is that what I need to do, what I have to do is get to center. and then
get
from center.
No, I want to tell you one really great thing that happened. I said, I need a sign. But, you know, I was getting like feeling that conditioning was getting so intense. I need a sign. And so I happened to go on the computer to check my email, and I saw it was the day that Oprah told everyone she was leaving the network. She wasn't going to do her TV show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, oh, I'm going to listen to her, what she said. And she goes, okay, I'm leaving the show. I'm giving it 18 more months. And she started crying, and then she said, and I'm going to tell you that these next 18 months, I am going to be so present with everybody that I come in contact with. I am going to be my best, most present person I can possibly be, or something. And I just stood there and I said, I think that's my sign. You know, it's like, thank you, Oprah.
I'm just
like, that's what I'm.
Wherever I am, and be complete, as present as I can be.
Yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, she's saying she's leaving her job. You know, she's not leaving her job. She's creating a whole network, but she's leaving what she's doing. And I'm like, well, that's a way to do it. You know, just, like, put it out there and say, and I'm just going to be completely present. It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you can leave teaching and take over the world, which is probably what Oprah's going to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take good care of yourself.
Thank you
much. Get out of that conversation. Get into the moment.
I am. I feel lighter already. Thank
you.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break, and then we will be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes, and we have four callers in our queue here.
Right. Well, I hope three will join us first thing next week.
Yes. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Catherine from St. Louis. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I talked to you a few weeks ago about anger.
Yes.
And you remember that, and I wanted to call and check in.
Good. A progress report.
Yeah, I couldn't find anger management classes that worked with my schedule. I work two nights a week, and the classes I found were one of those two nights. So I did finally find one this week. It doesn't start till January, but I'll be able to go.
That's really wrong, isn't it? Because if people ever needed an anger management class, it would be through the holidays, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay, anyway, definitely.
You're set up for January.
I'm set up for January. I think a couple of things I'm finding during this, looking at my anger. I've seen that, for one thing, conditioning starts hammering on me the moment I wake up. And if I don't, if I get hooked in that at all, then I'm like open. Anger is my kind of my self-defense kind of thing, or it feels that way. It's not,
so,
but it.
So conditioning starts picking at you, and anger comes up to kind of protect yourself.
I think so. And so I'm. I think what happened with the argument that precipitated this, I perceived that I was not, that this other person, my projection was that this other person was not respecting me and my feelings. And so I was just, and I think the truth is conditioning doesn't respect me or my feelings. And I think I was hooked in that.
Wait. I just want you to say that again. The truth is?
The truth is conditioning doesn't respect me or my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just so important to see, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's huge. It just for a moment, you know, so much of what goes on with people, conditioning makes folks think that it's happening outside. It isn't. It's all happening inside and then getting projected out.
So since our conversation, I have my conversation with you. I have really been watching when I start feeling that way. When I start feeling this person isn't respecting me, or when those thoughts, and I just stop myself from getting hooked into that, and it works. I mean,
Oh my God!
But
good for you.
Yeah, yeah. I just go, oh, this is what's. That's that conversation, and then I just do something else, you know, or turn my attention elsewhere.
God, that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
To realize, okay, it's doing that to me. It's trying to wind me up into that place where that thing is going to happen, that life-ruining thing that happens. And you can turn your attention somewhere else. Oh, my God.
That has broad application, doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is a recipe for freedom.
Yeah. And there was some part of me who wanted to hang on to anger as a coping mechanism. In other words, okay, if I can't have this anger, how am I going to cope? What am I going to be able to do when somebody is mean to me? And what I'm seeing is that nobody's mean to me.
Except conditioning.
Yeah. It's the conversation.
People are, we're all insensitive. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just going along. We don't know anybody else is on the planet. We're so self-centered and, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, we're rude. We're impatient. We're intolerant. We're, you know, all of those things. Is it personal?
Mm-hmm.
No. It can't be personal because we don't know one another is alive. So how could it possibly be personal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that
conditioning
knows, and it's just in there just picking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to project that that's not a someone who wants you to keep the anger. That's egocentric karmic conditioning. That's self-hatred.
Conditioning. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to.
And it's causing the fear. Yeah.
Yep. You know, are you a fan of Gandhi at all?
Oh yes. Mhm.
Okay. Well, then there's your role model. What do you do when you let go of the anger?
What do I do when I let go of the anger?
Well,
what did he do?
What did he do? Yeah, so he's the living example of what a person does instead of staying with anger and blame and hatred and that sort of thing. Yeah. What that turns into, what takes care of us instead of the anger is profound love. And, you know, a heart that is completely surrounded by love cannot be harmed.
Yes.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And what a feeling. What a way to be.
Oof. Well, may I just say, giant congratulations, my dear.
Thank you.
That's enormous. Now there's a Thanksgiving present for you, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you.
For
your help
and thank the person who did the work. Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do thank her.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah.
I thank me or her.
Her.
Yeah.
Me.
I do that.
Whoever that is. Yeah.
Whoever it was.
Because that's a tremendous letting go. And a tremendous receiving, which always comes with it.
Yeah. It seems scary, but it sure was worth it.
Oh yeah. And as soon as you step over that line, there's nothing scary about it. It's like, God. you know, it's the scary. It's as scary as dropping about a 5,000-pound weight that you've been dragging around.
Right. Yeah, it's much scarier when I called you. I was really scared because I felt I had no control over it or influence or.
Yeah.
It controlled me, so that was really scary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, again, congratulations. I'm so incredibly happy for you.
Thank you, and thanks for everything.
Take care.
Okay.
All right.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm going to call this the Lucky Ducky Show.
The Lucky Ducky Show. I like it. Thanks, Michael.
Yes, a big thanks to you, a big thanksgiving to everyone and everywhere who participates in every way.
Till next week.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.